Even as the disproportionate impact on our state and federal policies from the political religious right keeps grabbing our attention, there continues to be growth in the ranks of the religiously unaffiliated. A comprehensive look at this sizable segment of our population has just appeared under the headline, Searching for Spirituality in the U.S., a new look at the spiritual but not religious. It comes from the Public Religion Research Institute, and I'm happy to be joined by PRRI founding CEO, Dr. Robert P. Jones. Robbie, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Hi, Welton. Glad to be back with you.
Before we get to any actual findings, I wish you would start by simply summarizing the four groups that you sorted respondents into.
Well, I mean, we did start with all of the, you know, news and conversations that we have been having in the country around this group that's kind of got called the spiritual but not religious group. Mm-hmm. You know, that is maybe people who aren't formally affiliated with religion, still retain the kind of interest in spirituality. It's becoming more important as more and more, particularly young people, are not affiliated. And basically what we did is we decided to take two dimensions. One of those dimensions is religiosity. And we, you know, we're doing quantitative measurements, so we had to come up with some way of measuring that. And we, in this study, measured religiosity by religious attendance and how important someone said religion was in their life. So they scored higher or lower on those two measures. And then the trickier one was trying to figure out, you know, how to measure something as amorphous as spirituality. Mm-hmm. There's lots of ways of doing this. Certainly, this is not the only one. But what we did is we, out of a battery of eight questions, we found three that really held together very well and expressed a certain aspect of spirituality. And basically, the aspect we're measuring here is people who said they felt particularly connected to the world around them, who felt like they were part of something much bigger than themselves, and felt a sense of larger meaning and purpose in life. So that's kind of how we measure spirituality. And then we basically, you know, crossed these two things and came up with four groups by crossing these two dimensions against each other. And the first one is the one we spent the most time on, is the spiritual but not religious group. So that's people who were basically scored higher on that spirituality index than the average person, but lower on the religious index. And then we had the group that was both spiritual and religious, who scored high on both. A group down on the other end, neither spiritual nor religious, who scored low on both. And then a group that's kind of interesting, I may end up doing some more work on, because it's not one anyone really talks about, but people who actually are not spiritual but religious. That is, they scored fairly low on the spirituality index but higher on the religiosity measures. But the report itself focuses on that first group, the spiritual but not religious group, just because there's been so much conjecture about who this group is and how they relate to the growing number of unaffiliated people in the country.
I was shocked by which group wound up being the biggest. Talk about that group for a moment, if you would.
Yeah, so in the American religious landscape, out of those four groups, there's some symmetry, really, that the largest group is actually the neither spiritual nor religious group, people who scored low on both. That makes up 31% of the country. But nearly as big is the spiritual and religious. So the two bookends group make up about 6 in 10 Americans, right? So that group is 29% of the group. So you put those two together, and that's, you know, most of the country is either spiritual and religious, or they're neither spiritual nor religious. What that tells you is that in the American religious landscape, on the whole, these things hang together. If you are spiritual, you're likely to be religious, and vice versa. And then the other two groups, 22% is the not spiritual but religious, and 18% is the spiritual but not religious group.
Mm-hmm. Do your four groups comprise what we have called nones, N-O-N-E-S?
We deliberately left out religious affiliation from the measure because we wanted to be able to take these measures and look at religious affiliation by these measures. We were actually a little bit surprised because I think often when we talk about religiously unaffiliated Americans, that is Americans who claim no formal religion, when you ask them, what is your religion? Are you Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, you know, Hindu, Buddhist, other? They say nothing in particular, or they say they're atheists or agnostic. So they explicitly will not claim one of the kind of traditional religious groups. Mm-hmm. And again, that group is about a quarter of the country today. You know, going in, my hunch was that a fairly large segment of that group would be this spiritual but not religious. And we were actually surprised to find that only about 3 in 10 of that group could be categorized as spiritual but not religious. And overwhelmingly, 2/3 of that group actually fell into the more secular group, the neither spiritual nor religious. So that was, I think, one of the surprising findings. I thought that we would see a bigger subgroup among unaffiliated folks that would be spiritual but not religious.
Take a minute, if you will, to describe any denominations that stand out for how much or how little they are represented in the four groups.
Yeah, you know, what's notable, I mean, I mentioned this very interesting group of people who didn't score very high, not spiritual, but religious. I kind of start with that one because it's interesting to me that one of the things that we found is that Catholics actually ended up scoring higher on that measure than many other groups did. And we basically think that part of what's going on there is that it's a kind of ethnic connection to religion, so that the spirituality component may or may not be there, but still there's other ways of connecting to religion. When you look at the other religious groups, the two groups that score highest that have both high measures of spirituality and religiosity are white evangelical Protestants. So the majority of them actually fall into that category of scoring high on both measures, and African-American Protestants, about half of whom score fairly high on that measure. And the white mainline Protestant group is pretty interesting because the biggest subset of that group is actually neither spiritual nor religious. So among white mainline Protestants, there are more people who say, I'm neither spiritual nor religious, yet still identify as white mainline Protestant than any other religious group.
Hmm. We're talking about PRRI's new report titled Searching for Spirituality in the U.S., A New Look at the Spiritual but Not Religious. So what's the demographic makeup of religiously unaffiliated Americans, and does that segment have something that makes it stand out?
Yeah, you know, we're seeing this is clearly driven by younger people. That is the move away from traditional religiosity. So very much overpopulated by younger people. It's a pretty diverse group. You know, so the average age is much younger than the general population. And that's true however they score on the spirituality scale. The marker for formal religiosity is very much generational. So the younger you are, the more likely you're to score lower on the kind of religiosity scale, and the older you are, the more likely you are to score higher on that dimension of the scale.
You know, people have typically challenged reports on the nuns by saying that as people get older, they usually get more religious. But there are problems with that dismissive response, aren't there?
Yeah, you know, it's always been true and still remains true to some extent that there is some return, you know, of maybe think about the prodigal son or something story from the Bible, you know, but that people in their 20s, you know, they're very mobile. They tend to be maybe working a couple of jobs or moving around a lot. They haven't settled down, gotten married, had kids. Mm-hmm. And every generation in their 20s is more unaffiliated than they are in their older generations. But the best piece of evidence is if you look at the generational differences, you take baby boomers, for example, and put them back into their 20s, we can actually look back at the data. They're still much less unaffiliated in their 20s than this current generation is today. So that there's about 4 in 10 of the under 30 crowd that claims no religious affiliation. So even if similar kinds of proportions return to religiosity in their 30s that they grew up with, they will still be the most unaffiliated generation we've ever seen. And the other caveat to that is that we now are at a place where we are beginning to see a second generation of people who were actually raised without a religious affiliation, right? So there's actually nowhere for that group to return to. They grew up with no religious affiliation. And that's something that we, no previous generation to this one, has ever had sizable numbers of people who were raised non-religious.
Yeah. Did you ask members of the four groups that you sorted respondents into why they believe as they believe? Is organized religion repelling them, or is non-affiliation attracting them?
It's a good question. We didn't ask in this study, but we have asked in previous studies about this question. And particularly among young people, what we hear, the most of the thing we hear is that they've simply stopped believing some of the doctrines or the teachings of the religion, or that they've become just not that relevant to their lives. And for those people, I think it really is about relevance. It's less about anger and rejection and more about just it's just not relevant. The other thing that does stand out, though, is when we've asked people about kind of the political arena, that about a third of those who were raised religious and left, and by the way, most of them leave by the time they're 20, so it's not a college thing, it's a pre-college thing for most of them. What they say, that about a third of them have said that negative teachings about gay and lesbian people or negative treatment of gay and lesbian people were an important reason why they left.
Robbie, what did you find regarding life satisfaction?
Yeah, you know, this is one of the more interesting things. We had a set of measures on the study that measured just self-reported life satisfaction, both in general and in some specifics. Interestingly enough, we found that it was the spirituality dimension, not the religious dimension so much, that drove people's life satisfaction. So we basically found a correlation between higher levels of spirituality being correlated with higher life satisfaction across a whole range of measures. 6 in 10, those who say they're spiritual but not religious, and 7 in 10 who say they're spiritual and religious, say they're very or completely satisfied with their lives overall. But if you look at the groups that are not spiritual, only 53% who are not spiritual but religious, and only 47% of those who are neither spiritual or religious say the same thing. So there's a statistically significant difference that mostly hinges around this kind of relationship between higher levels of spirituality and higher life satisfaction. The other thing we had measures on is what we dubbed kind of pro-social behavior, that is kind of, you know, just acting in civil and kind ways to people. And also their, you know, spirituality played a role, that people who identified as spiritual were much more likely to do things like, say, they've done a personal favor for a friend or coworker, or they've allowed someone to cut ahead of them in line. I mean, just kind of very simple but daily tasks. And, you know, I think many of us are, you know, feeling, you know, all the coarseness in the culture and shootings, and the world is feeling in many ways, you know, charges of sexual harassment, and a very uncivil place. And, you know, at least according to the data here, a little more spirituality would correlate with, you know, just a civic space that is just more congenial, I think, and civil.
Robbie, when you look at this, the whole picture, what do you say to yourself? What does this tell you?
Yeah, well, I'll go back to the kind of democracy point. I mean, one of the things, I think you and I have talked about this before, that, you know, I do have some, you know, worries about, just from a kind of healthy democratic society point, is that, you know, churches and synagogues, you know, mosques and other religious congregations have typically served as an entry point to civic engagement in the country, from everything from voting to volunteering at the soup kitchen to, you know, donating money to charity or volunteering at charities. And, you know, as these more traditional institutions are waning and losing members, and those, it's worth noting that, you know, historically, spirituality and religiosity have been highly correlated and remain so. So it does mean that as those institutions are being challenged and in many cases weakened or even dying, those places as conduits not only of spirituality but as conduit specific engagement, I think, should be a worry for everyone. Like, and it raises the real question of what is going to be the incubator then of a sense of connectedness, to, you know, solidarity and connectedness, not only to one another but to nature and, you know, the world we live in, and what's going to be the catalyst for volunteering and for voting and other kinds of, you know, social behaviors that kind of help make the country what it is. I think that's a real question going forward, is what's going to spring up in its place. And if nothing does, I think we may lose a significant amount of social capital here.
Dr. Robert P. Jones is founding CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute. We've only scratched the surface of the comprehensive new report titled Searching for Spirituality in the U.S., A New Look at the Spiritual But Not Religious. I encourage you to spend some time with this material at PRRI.org. Robbie, I am so grateful to have you with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks, Weldon. It's always good to be back with you.